Well, good morning. This is Glenn Coble. You're listening to On the Air here on WWGH 107.1 FM. And had some interesting discussions in Scott's show. I was listening on my way in, and then when I got here, and there are a lot of people that have a wealth of knowledge about this community, and it makes WWGH a very interesting station to listen to. Well, there are a lot of reasons that the station is interesting to listen to. Scott and I had a rip-roarer yesterday morning. Matter of fact, I was beat up all day on the internet for my stances, and I understand. That's kind of the way America is now. We like to throw mud at other people because everybody else is bad, but I'm good, right? Yeah, well, we had a good time. Today we're going to, I'm going to do, like I mentioned yesterday on A Progressive Life, I mentioned that I was going to read Andrew Jackson's speech to Congress about Indian removal, and I'll do that in the second hour of this show, and we'll talk briefly about that, and you'll find it interesting, I think. It's a kind of a dry speech, but there's obviously he's telling it the way he'd like people to hear it, and there's a lot of that goes on in politics. Why confuse people with the facts, right? So anyway, Andrew Jackson was not known for his love of the Native Americans, or as they called them back then, and we call them even not to today, the Indians. It was the speech, you'll hear it. It's kind of highfalutin, a little bit I'm smarter than you type speech, but it was interesting to listen to it. So I'm going to read that to you in the second hour. I may also read for you, and I'm not sure, it kind of depends on the time that we have. I may also read to you the final speech of the movie by Charlie Chaplin, which is called The Dictator. And it's has some very definite significance, current time significance, and it was done in 1940 as kind of a Charlie Chaplin's private way of making fun of Adolf Hitler and Hitler's regime. You'll see a lot of similarities, I'm sure, in what he says of things that are being said today. Anyway, so today, in the first hour, we're going to do a little bit of trivia stuff, if you don't mind. That'll ease my brain a little bit. I spent a lot of time up last night reading up on stuff that people had texted to me. I would say about 95% of the stuff that was sent to me was not based in fact. It was based in rumor, innuendo, twisted facts, and so it was kind of fun because I learned a lot. I'm not going to put anybody. I try not to throw it back in people's faces. I'm just going to let it be, hopefully they will get wiser as they get older, much like I have done. I've got a long way to go, though, obviously. 74, if I make it to 100, I've got 26 years to correct my ways, right? Oh, me. My children and my grandchildren will be happy to hear that. Interesting. I'm wearing today. When I woke up this morning, I felt a little down. I'd been beating myself up all night. I'd been thinking about things. I had been working on shows that I was going to do. I have the best of intentions, but about 95% of those shows never get on because I don't get terribly aggressively forward on my shows. I try not to anyway. A lot of my shows are thoughtful shows. I try to think through them and not say things that I can't prove. I don't know. It just seems to me that if we did a lot more of that, we'd have a lot better country. I really hate the division that we are throwing ourselves into. It's almost like there are people, and as if you recall, and I'm trying to remember the gentleman's name that helped Mr. Trump out when he first started. The guy that he's with. He talked about a lot of conspiracy theories and stuff. He wears two shirts all the time. I can't remember his name. Anyway, I forget the name of people that I don't have any respect for. So, anyway, it's kind of coming. He said that they were going to I don't know. They were going to tear down our government. Apparently he believed it was bad at the time. And they were going to, do away with the administration that we had. So apparently he knew what he was talking about because we seem to be trying to do that right now. I hope that you have a better day than I had night. I did way too much awake time last night. Even my dog thought I was awake too much. She kind of lays there and falls asleep, and then occasionally she'll look up at me like, "What the heck are you doing?" And I was thinking, leave me alone. Well. Okay, let's do a little bit of trivia so we can get my head out of here, right? The one thing I did think about last night is doing a show on the difference between people that are I people and there are we people. And there are all sorts of ranges between I and we. The people that think about I, well, that's obvious. They're more selfish, more concerned about somebody else getting away with something, somebody getting something that they don't get, that type of person. There are a lot of people like that, especially right now. It seems like there are a lot of people like that. And then there are the we people. And there are those can range anywhere from your mom on the street who says our schools need to improve to help all the kids to the people that think we should do away with our government and have anarchy, I guess. I don't know. So, anyway, I did a lot of thinking about that, and I'm going to do a show about that eventually. You'll probably hate it, but I'll give you forewarning so that you can put something on YouTube to avoid me, all right? All right. Let's get into this trivia. I still have that book with 250 trivia questions, and they're all pretty good. I mean, they're not really easy. This first one I'm going to read to you is pretty easy, but they're not. Most of them are. You have to think a little bit. If you'd like to call in, and I'll let you know which questions I'm going to give you a little time to call in, because if you try to call in as soon as you hear the question, you're calling in about 30 seconds after I've given it on the air. You don't know that because there's about a 30-second delay here. But so I will tell you, like, I'll give you 3 or 4 minutes to call in on this one if you want to call in and get an attaboy. That's all we give away now, just attaboys, because we're trying to avoid having too many people come into the station. You know, the virus has gotten us all down, right? In one way or the other. And so anyway, but I'll tell you which ones I'm going to ask you to see if you can answer. And if you want to call in, the number is 740-383-9944. And I'll try not to talk right through the commercial or the public service announcements. I do that in honor of my great friend Charlie. He used to do that almost on a daily basis, walk right through those things. Well, you don't have a clock that pops up and says 15 seconds to PSA and then countdown or anything like that. You kind of have to look at it's all done on computers anymore. Back when I started in radio, it was all done very manually, including if you had to if you had to splice, yesterday somebody used a not so nice word on the air, and Scott had to go back, find that spot. And if you listen to that show now that's in the archives, you will hear he puts a beep on it, but there will be a silent spot where this person says a bad word. And it's not an FCC, we're going to close you down type word. It's just a bad word that we didn't think our audience wanted to listen to over and over again. All right. First question. You ready? All right. And don't forget, 740-383-9944. But not for this question. This one's just too darn easy. And if you don't know this one, you haven't lived long enough, right? What was Babe Ruth's first name? And, oh, by the way, I got another one that goes right along with this. You know where he hit that home run, supposedly, that he signaled he was going to hit it over center field, and supposedly he told some youngster in the hospital that he was going to hit a home run for him? That was done at Wrigley Field, my Cubs field. Anyway, Babe Ruth's first name was George. George Herman Ruth, I believe, was his full name. And he was, I believe, I read a book about him, and I believe he was a boy without parents. And I believe he grew up in a Catholic monastery, maybe. I might have that wrong. But anyway, he turned out okay. He turned out okay. What a great hitter he was. And he wasn't a bad defensive player, but he was more known for his, 62 home runs in one season? Something like that. All right. And that record of his home runs stood until the era of the juice, the steroids. Which, unfortunately, one of my favorite players, one of my favorite Cubbies, was accused of, and probably was one of those people who used the juice. And now I can't remember his name. Boy, I'll tell you what, we're having all sorts of talks on TV about who forgets more stuff, the president or Biden. Don't put me in there, because I will out-forget them day in and day out. All right. Who was Sports Illustrated's, and I'll give you 3 to 4 minutes on this one, because this is a good one, and I remember when this happened. Who was Sports Illustrated's first female sportsperson of the year? I'll give you 3 or 4 minutes if you want to call in and get an attaboy. And the number 740-383-9944. Those last four digits, by the way, if you look at your phone, spell out WWGH. So I'll give you 3 or 4 minutes on that one. All right. All right. Robin Williams won a Best Supporting Best Supporting Actor Oscar. Boy, that's hard to say. For what film? Now, I remember watching this film and thinking, that just doesn't seem like a Robin Williams film, but it was a terrific film. I really, really enjoyed watching that film. But I'm a tree-hugging, bleeding heart lib. So that kind of grabbed my heart, that particular show. There were lots of things about it that were thoughtful. All right. The show was Good Will Hunting. It really didn't seem much like a Robin Williams type show. Wasn't all hilarity, right? What was the first Disney animated film based on the life of a real person? Now, I didn't know this. I should have saved the question to this one. Well, I tell you what, I'll give you 3 or 4 minutes on this one as well, if you'd like to call 740-383-9944. If you're not interested in calling, that's fine with me too. We can give you the answers in 3 or 4 minutes to both of those questions, and just relax and enjoy, and I'll give you some information. I've learned a lot from doing these trivia things. I'll go home just about every day after I've done some of this trivia stuff and tell my wife 3 or 4 things that she absolutely does not care whether I tell her or not. But they're interesting to me. So I tell her. So that question was, what was the first Disney animated film based on the life of a real person? All right. What character did Michael J. Fox play in Back to the Future? That's a if you saw that movie, you probably remember the name. It's kind of a shame what's happened to Michael J. Fox. Now, he's made the best of it. What does he have, palsy? Or he has one of those diseases where you can't control your muscles. He has done a terrific job of walking right through that and knocking it down and saying, I'm not gonna put up with it. But anyway, Michael J. Fox played in Back to the Future. He played Marty McFly. Yeah, that had a lot of that movie had a lot of twists in it. I'm not sure whether it was number one, two, three, four, or five, or which one it was. But somebody points out that he had a really hot mom, and he could go back and get into a relationship with his mom or something like that. And he kind of, you know, gives that you look like anybody would do. And I always got a chuckle out of that. What was the predecessor to the United Nations? Do you remember what came before the United Nations? All right. Well, that one I can tell you.
Scott, WWGH Radio is my favorite place for news.
Well, Ted, I take that as high praise.
Well, it's true, without a doubt. Where else can you find a mayor, governor, treasurer, and the golden voice all on the same show? Variety is the spice of life.
WWGH Radio, 107.1 FM, The Talking Place.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
How about that for a cliffhanger? I saw we were running out of time, so I thought, well, I'll let them think about the answer to that question. What preceded the United Nations? The League of Nations. I love that public service announcement about going back and getting your degree or getting your high school education. There is nothing better in the world. And believe me, it took me forever to get through. But to go back and finish up your education, whether it's high school or college or even postgraduate work, if you had a goal to get through one or the other, go back and finish it up. What we need right now in the United States of America is an intelligent electorate. We have a lot of people that don't think their way through life. They just let other people tell them what's the facts. And the nice thing I found about college, and it, like I was saying, it took me a long time. It took me 9 years. Now I must put this in there. Three of those years I was in the service. I was in the Army, but still, it took me 6 years. So I couldn't get on my kids too tough when they took an extra semester. My youngest took actually an extra year because he was coaching baseball, and so they asked him to stay an extra, but none of them took 6 years to get through. But anyway, that public service announcement, go back and finish up your college or your high school or your postgraduate or whatever. Finish, even if you haven't gotten your eighth grade education, go back and finish it, because it teaches, education teaches you to think, and thinking is a lot more important than talking. All right. And I shouldn't say that being an announcer, but it's the facts. All right, let's go back. The first Sports Illustrated female person that was nominated Sports Person of the Year was Billie Jean King. There were a lot of people that hated that. If you're as old as I am, you might remember that. People didn't like it because there were rumors that she was homosexual. She was not the most handsome woman in the world. She wasn't a bad-looking lady. A lot of people, especially back then, had a real grudge against anybody, whether it was true or not. And by the way, Billie Jean King did have a husband, by the way, for a while. A lot of people just hated people for who they were. I met Billie Jean King a couple of times. And Billie Jean came to DePaul University, which is in Chicago, not the one down in Greencastle, Indiana. DePaul is where I went. I was assistant athletic director at DePaul for about 5 years, something like that. But Billie Jean wanted to buy the Chicago Hustle, which was a Women's Basketball Association team. Absolutely a really good team. They were very good. Occasionally they'd ask me, now I was much younger then, occasionally they'd ask me to come out on the floor when they didn't have enough players to have a good defense, or if they wanted some players to watch what was going on, they'd ask me to come out and play on the court with them. I would never want to play against them. They would have kicked, well, they did kick my butt. Janie Fincham, one of the most beautiful women I have ever seen in athletics. Speaking of gay women, I believe she was gay. She was absolutely gorgeous. She brought in, when we'd have a hustle game, we'd get, Alumni Hall, which was the original place where DePaul University basketball was played, and they may play some of their games there now. I don't recall. But it seated about 5,500 people, and she would, by herself, nearly fill the place up. I imagine they averaged 4,000 people to the Chicago Hustle games. There were lots of guys that would sit there with their tongues hanging out and their eyes glued on Janie. What a nice lady. She really was a very nice lady. I'm glad that I got to know her. But Billie Jean wanted to own them. I'm not sure if that ever came to fruition, but she came and she sat. We had overhang over the end of the basketball court where you could, it was usually either our head coach would sit there and watch games or our athletic director would sit there and watch games. We would take honored guests out there. I remember sitting with Ernie Banks out there on that little balcony. I sat with Billie Jean King out there, and we talked quite a long time about sports and that sort of thing. And I found her to be totally involved and totally knowledgeable about anything she would talk about. She was a very smart lady, and I'm glad I got to meet. I got to meet an awful lot of very famous people from the jobs that I had at two different universities. Anyway. The other question that I had asked that we didn't get an answer to yet was, what was the first Disney animated film based on? What person was it based on? The life of this person was Pocahontas. An animated film based on Pocahontas. My family has always had, in your families, you have these family legends. Most of them are not true, right? Well, we had a family legend in my family that we were related to Pocahontas. That's because my uncle's name was John Smith, and his son was John Smith, and his father was John Smith, and his father's father was John Smith. And it went back, and they were all lived outside of Boston. So the area was right, and we had a lot of John Smiths. As a matter of fact, I think there were 7 John Smiths going all the way back to the time when Pocahontas could have been around, but we never had any documented proof of that. But as a youngster, I told all my friends that I was related to Pocahontas and John Smith, which, you know, when you're young, I guess telling little fibs like that. I didn't know it was a fib. I thought it was true. Anyway, all right, where are we? It's 10:38, and you're listening to WWGH 107.1. And if you'd like to call in, the number here is 740-383-9944. Let's see. Oh, by the way, don't forget, after these 2 hours of on the air, go off the air, we will have Swap Shop. And we've had 4 or 5 people in the last couple of weeks. Plus, we've had some people that have written in and asked us to put announcements on. And this week, I don't see that anybody sent us any announcements. By the way, if you want to do that, it's an easy address. I'll give you the address here after the next question. So I'll give you a little time to go get your pen and pencil, okay? All right. Where are we? Okay. A flamboyance is a group of what animals? That's kind of interesting. And when you hear the name of the animals, you'll agree that it's a good name for this particular group of animals. A flamboyance is a group, you know, like the, a group of crows called a, I kept thinking it was the mafia, but that's not it. But anyway, this particular name fits the animals. A flamboyance is a group of flamingos. You know, the flamingos turn pink based on what they eat. There are flamingos that are not pink. I think there are some blue flamingos, but it's based on the food at hand. That's why I'm just plain round. All right. All right, we've done that one. Here. Now, this is another color thing about animals. What color is a polar bear's skin? Do you know what color a polar bear's skin is? Well, the obvious would be white, but that's wrong. What color is a polar bear's skin? It's black. I wonder if they're related to black bears, therefore. They're a lot more aggressive than black bears. If you see a black bear out in the forest, you're probably likely to be fine. They will probably go the other way. If you see a polar bear out on the tundra, get the heck out, because they're not real friendly. They look friendly. You go down to the zoo and watch them swimming in the water. Oh, what a cute little bear. You don't want to be in that water with that bear. All right. What is the largest lizard? I'll give you 3 minutes on this one, all right? If you want to call in and tell us what the largest lizard in the world is. Now, there have been all sorts of documentaries about this particular lizard, and I'll give you 3 minutes if you want to call in and get an attaboy. That's all you get. I'm sorry. But attaboys are good. I like it when my wife gives me an attaboy. And that had nothing to do with sex, by the way. all right. The male of what species testicles explode on mating and then it dies? That's kind of sad, but it's a honeybee. Holy cow. I think I would give up sex forever if that was what happened. Yikes. I'm not going to repeat that one, by the way. Kind of snuck up on me. Now, these 250 trivia questions that I have, they don't have very good filters on them. So some of them are really rough, including that one. All right. Europe is separated from Africa by which sea? Now, this is pretty simple. Okay. Europe goes down to the sea, and there's the French Riviera, and there's Nice. And there's Italy's down there, and you look across that sea, and there's Africa. At Gibraltar, you can actually see people across that sea. But that sea is the Mediterranean. Beautiful. If you've ever been there, I was there We played Europe when I was in a folk trio. We played Europe and got to go and spend, I don't know, probably 2 or 3 days on the French Riviera. They wouldn't let us play. Vietnam was going on, and the people in France were not very happy with the United States at the time, so they wouldn't let us play at the venues we were supposed to play at. Some of the places over on the by Italy, and we played there, but we played at a really neat casino, I believe, in Italy, right on the sea. But anyway, right across from Europe is Africa, and in between is the Mediterranean Sea. All right, let's see, one more question before we have to take a break. Canberra is the capital city of what country? Now, I think I asked this probably 4 or 5 weeks ago, so I'm going to answer this one really quick, all right? Canberra is the capital city of Australia. It's not Sydney. That's where the Opera House is, but Canberra is the capital city. Anyway, let's see if I got time for one more, okay? New York City comprises how many boroughs? How many boroughs? You know, like, I don't know, Queens? Is that a borough? I don't know. I'm not big on that sort of thing. Anyway, there are 5 boroughs that make up New York City's total land area, okay? Well, you're listening to WWGH, and we'll be right back.
Charlie, rumor has it, 1 year Buckeye Chuck died the morning of Groundhog Day, and you passed off a stuffed groundhog to the audience.
Well, yes, that did happen.
Did the crowd notice?
Well, not really. I just told the crowd he was scared to death of the audience, and they didn't know how true that was.
Honesty is always the best policy. WWGH Radio, 107.1 FM. Don't miss it.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Well, welcome back. You're listening to On the Air with Glenn Coble. The time is 45 minutes after the hour of 10 o'clock, and we're just doing a little bit of trivia right now. Next hour, we'll go into reading that speech from Andrew Jackson, and we'll talk a little bit about the treatment of the Native Americans. But for right now, we're just... We're cooling it. We're laying back in the hammock, and we're just thinking about questions. This question, which nuts are used to make marzipan? That's one of those spreads that people put on toast and bread and that sort of thing. Marzipan. Which nuts are used? Almonds are used for that. Almonds. Kind of interesting. I love almonds. I don't like marzipan. I don't know why. It's kind of like I love peanut butter, but I'm not a huge fan of just raw peanuts. Have you ever had raw peanuts I guess peanuts in the shell but haven't been salted? I'm not a big fan. Okay. Botany is the scientific study of what? Botany. Now, that's something I should take, botany. I am absolutely the worst at that subject. It's the study of plants. Am I the only person that doesn't have a single tomato that's turned red yet? I was told by somebody that knows that there are a lot of people in this area that haven't had a lot of tomatoes turn red because the temperature has been wrong. First of all, I found out yesterday while I was sitting out in my backyard, I keep losing tomatoes, and I always thought it was squirrels, but I lose them day or night, and I was told, no, it's probably raccoons, But I do have a fence up about around this one area where I have tomatoes, and I don't think a raccoon could have gotten in there. Well, yesterday I found out what it is, and I hadn't seen one of these in my backyard. I haven't seen one for years. A chipmunk. And apparently chipmunks love tomatoes. So I Googled it, and it told me a different type, a non-killing spray to put on it, you know, something that's organic. And what it has garlic in it. So I did that, and I hope that'll keep those little boogers away, because we haven't had a single one of our tomatoes turn red. Occasionally, I will find them laying on the ground with one little bite out of it. And I mean, tiny little bite out of it. And I'll take it in my kitchen and put it in a brown paper bag with a tomato that I bought from the store that is ripe, and they will turn red, but they're no good. I mean, you know, they taste like kind of a tomatoey watermelon. They don't really taste very good. Anyway, the botany is the scientific study of plants, and I could sure use some help on that. Okay, when were tanks first used? What war were tanks first used in? I think I knew this one. There are a lot of questions today that I know the answer to, so that must mean they're pretty simple if I'm knowing the answer to it. The first war that tanks were used, the first conflict was World War I. That was a way that they could, I think the way they could go over the trenches and that sort of thing. Tanks were stopped by mud and stuff like that and holes, but they could get across a trench if the trench wasn't too wide. All right. Squab is the name given to the young of which bird? Now, I have had a lot to do with this. Being a minister's kid, I got a chance to face squab face to face. Squab is the name given to the young of pigeons. My father, when we moved to Valparaiso, I don't know, 62, something like that. And Dad, I was, I don't know, 14, 15, Dad said to me, we need to clean out the bell tower. And I said, oh, I'll do that for a certain amount of money. And he said he'd pay me. So I went up there, and there must have been a foot of pigeon poop. And I had to clean all that out. Now, apparently, it's not a healthy thing to do, but I was lucky. I got away with it. Or at least I think I did. It may come to haunt me here in the near future. I got to clean out the bell tower of First Methodist Church in Valparaiso, Indiana. It was quite an interesting ordeal. I cleaned it all out, and we got the bell to work again. We found all sorts of stained glass windows up there that had been taken out for some reason or other and replaced by something else. And Dad gave me one. For some reason or other, somebody decided it was more important in their house than in mine, and they stole it out of our garage. Anyway, that's what squab are. They're the young of pigeons. And, oh, boy, the smell. I kind of still remember that smell. It probably is still on some of my clothes somewhere. I still have a pair of white boxer shorts. When I was taking basic training at Fort Leonard Woods, the mud at Fort Leonard Woods was red. I mean, really red. And they gave you all your underclothes were white, which didn't stay white very long. But I actually saved a pair of my boxer undershorts just to show to anybody that wants to see how red the clay is in Fort Leonard Woods, Missouri, or as we would call it, Fort Lost in the Woods, State of Misery. They're red. That clay just never did come out of those shorts, and I don't know if I could find them anymore. But we carried those around for two or three houses after I got married. My wife's probably thrown them away. She's pretty smart that way. I'm not so smart. Which female singer discovered a genie in the bottle in 1999, which female singer discovered a genie in the bottle? Remember that? I kind of do. It wasn't one of my favorites. However, this singer is one of my favorites. Christina Aguilera. I really love listening to most of her stuff. My son hates it. He doesn't like whiny women, and that's what he calls her. Morissette was one. Another one that he cannot stand. If it's on in my house, anything by her, he won't come in the house. That's how much he hates it. That's my eldest son. My youngest son is pretty cool. He'll come in anytime. He just ignores it. All right. Complete the title of a 1979 number one by Blondie. Heart of Stone? No. Heart of Molasses? No. Heart of Fluff? No. Heart of Glass was the number one Blondie song in 1979. Now, you'd think I'd remember that, and I think I do sort of remember it, but I wasn't a big Blondie fan, so I definitely didn't buy that. And back then, you had to buy them. You couldn't go online and pull them down. All right. Which Italian fascist leader was known as El Duce? Well, I'll get to that after we take this phone call. Hi, you're on the air. On the air.
Hey, you're giving the answers too quick.
I'm sorry.
I knew it. You know, I was on the way to the phone. Good
God. I'll slow down.
All right.
I keep forgetting there's a 30-second delay.
Okay. This
but I'll give you an attaboy just for calling, getting in this time.
Yeah,
right?
That was Heart of Glass.
Heart of Glass. You got it right.
All right.
Thanks. Bye bye. Yeah, he was right. Heart of Glass. I was wrong by giving the answer too fast. What a dummy I am sometimes. Oh, well. That was the number one song by Blondie. And he probably liked that song. Maybe that's why he knew it. I'm sorry. I just wasn't a big fan of Blondie. Anyway, which Italian fascist leader was known as El Duce? Shall I give you a little bit of time here? Okay, I'll go on to the next question. If a male donkey is a jack, what is a female donkey called? I didn't know a male donkey was called a jack, which would refer back to jackass, right? I didn't know that. That's good to know. So if I'm calling a person a bad term like that, I know that it's based in fact. A male donkey is called a jack. All right. I'll give you a little time here, too. What is the female called? It starts with the same letter. That's all I'm going to tell you. Okay, you've got two questions that are out there rolling around. I've given you about 30 seconds. I'm going to give you a little bit more time, all right? In what country did carving jack-o'-lanterns originate? And I wonder why it got called a jack-o'-lantern. I guess because you put a candle in it, they are a lantern. But where did they ever come with jack-o'-lantern? The first place that they started carving those was Ireland, where they all have red hair. Maybe that's why. Hang on, we got another caller. You're on the air. How can I help you?
Yes, the donkey is called, is she called Jackie?
No, but you're close. It does end, it begins with a J and ends with a Y. I'm going to tell you, okay?
Okay.
It's called a Jenny. I had never heard that. Have you ever heard of that?
No.
I've never heard of a Jenny, Jenny ass. Okay. Well, thank you for trying. I'll give you a semi-attaboy for that. Thanks a lot. Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right. That's kind of a tough one to not make fun of. All right. Well, thanks for calling in and giving a try. He was close, very close. It ended with a Y and started with a J, but it was a Jenny, is what my book says about trivia. Now, I must forewarn you. I've had people say, well, I know that's not true. I've got a book that says this and that. You know, they all kind of contradict each other occasionally. So if I got the wrong one, more power to you. Give me the right one. I'll be glad to listen. All right. We found out that jack-o'-lanterns originated in Ireland. And let's see. Let's go back. Which Italian fascist leader was known as El Duce? That was Mussolini of Italy. And let's see. I've only got about 20 seconds left to go. We mentioned that a male donkey is a jackass, and a female donkey is a Jenny. And okay. In what American state is it illegal to dress up like a priest or a nun? This is a kind of a shock. Okay, it's Alabama. All right, we'll be back after this short break, about 15 minutes.
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, your place for politics. The only local Marion news coverage from the Republican National Convention, with conservative icon Phyllis Schlafly.
This is Scott Spear.